Hello there, and a hearty, hearty, warm welcome to you. You are listening to Practical Living, right here on your practical station, Adventist World Radio. I am your host for today, Dumisani Mfune. I've got lots prepared for you, so I hope you are ready to be informed. We will talk about the Bible, the King James Version translation, and I got a story for you kids, and we have a poem. So much. So, first things first, let's switch over and hear from our friends at Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. I'm Ryan Gertzma.
And I'm Robin Basselin. An eye for an eye.
The blind leading the blind.
By the skin of my teeth.
Have you ever heard one of these sentences? All of them come from the same place, the King James Version of the Bible. And now, these sentences are common English idioms. It is easy to understand the words of each sentence, but together, the group of words has a new meaning. For example, the saying, an eye for an eye, is not about eyes. Instead, it is about justice. It means that a punishment should be similar to the crime being punished.
Today, these idioms are often used by people who speak English. The Bible was not first written in English. It was first written over thousands of years in Greek and Hebrew. But it has been translated many times into many languages. Translators make every effort to keep the original meaning of the Greek and Hebrew words. And the most famous English translation is the King James Version, or the KJV. In 2011, the KJV celebrates its 400-year anniversary. Today's spotlight is on the influence of the KJV on English language and culture.
Over the past 400 years, the KJV Bible has sold more copies than any other book. During this time, many sayings, language methods, and stories from the KJV became part of common spoken English. Still today, people say things like, "The love of money is the cause of all evil." But often, they do not know the origin of these sayings or stories. Experts argue that English speakers recognize more sayings, ideas, and stories from the KJV Bible than any other book. But the men who first translated it did not plan to make a translation that would affect the future of English language and culture.
In 1604, King James I was the King of England. He decided the country needed a new translation of the Bible. He believed that the Bible contained the guidance and truth of God. and he wanted all English-speaking people to understand it. So King James chose 47 Bible and language experts to work in groups. They worked in three different cities across England. For 7 years, these experts translated the Bible from its original languages. They wanted to create a version in 17th century Common English. They wanted a translation of the Bible that priests and common people could understand.
The first King James Version of the Bible was printed in 1611. People have created many other English translations of the Bible, but for a long time, the King James Version was the most popular. Experts believe that the reason the KJV had such an effect on the English language and culture is because of how it was translated.
For many years, English-speaking schools used the KJV Bible in their classes. They did this because the language was simple and easy to understand. Writer Jeanette Winterson says,
"The King James Bible was written to be spoken or read aloud."
Many church leaders read the KJV Bible to their church members. They liked the translation because its words were like poems or plays when they were read out loud.
As a result, the KJV Bible has had a strong influence on the English language. Its idioms and words became part of common speech. Some famous English writers, like Charles Dickens, John Milton, and Lord Tennyson, were influenced by the KJV Bible. Many other English leaders, writers, and common people have believed the words and are encouraged by them.
The KJV Bible has affected English-speaking culture as well. The American human rights leader, Martin Luther King Jr., often used the King James Bible in his speeches.
Make justice a reality for all of God's children.
He used its common sayings and ideas to support his beliefs about human rights.
The famous English writer T.S. Eliot also wrote about the Bible's influence on the English language. He suggested there is another possible reason for its influence. He said,
"The Bible has influenced English literature, not because it has been considered literature, but because it is considered to be the Word of God."
However, there are some experts who believe the KJV's influence is not as important as most people think. One of these experts is a man named David Crystal. In his book, Begat, he compared the KJV Bible to other major works of English literature. He compares the KJV to William Shakespeare. Shakespeare is considered one of the most important writers of the English language. He wrote plays and literature around the same time that the KJV was translated.
David Crystal found that Shakespeare invented as many as 1,000 new English words. But the KJV Bible invented only about 40 new words. Shakespeare used about 31,000 words in his writing, and the King James Version used only about 12,000 words.
Crystal argues that those numbers prove that the KJV Bible has not influenced English language as much as some people believe. But other experts believe it is the simple language of the KJV Bible that made it such an important part of the English language. It was not the translator's goal to invent new words and sayings.
In fact, the men who worked on the KJV Bible worked hard to use simple language. They wanted the translation to be as correct and clear as possible. They wanted every English-speaking person to be able to understand it.
For 400 years, the King James Bible has been an important part of English language and culture. Some experts believe its influence will decrease as time goes on. But other people believe it is not the language of the KJV Bible that influences those who read it. Like T.S. Eliot, they believe it is the message those words bring. There is evidence to support both sides of this debate. But even David Crystal admits that
no other translation reached so many people over such a long period of time as the King James Version.
Why do you think the KJV has remained so important over the last four centuries? Do you have any favorite sayings from the King James Bible? Do you think the King James Bible will one day lose its influence on English language and culture?
If so, why don't you give us your answer? Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa, postal code 7129. That is the King James Version of the Bible. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Practical Living. Coming up next, we have a story for you boys and girls. So gather around, tell mommy and daddy to put the volume up real loud, because Auntie Debbie, that's right, Auntie Debbie Clickety Clack has a story for you guys. The story is entitled A Tick in Time. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi there, boys and girls. My name is Auntie Debbie, Clickety Clack. And I have a great story for you by Uncle Arthur, and it's called A Tick at a Time. Boys and girls, what do you do when you're given a lot of chores to do? Well, Stephen wanted to give up at once. Seemed very sorry for himself. Father had just asked him to take over the cutting of the front lawn as his share of the task of keeping his home and garden in good order. If you run the mower over it twice a week in the growing season and keep it short, Father had said, it won't be a serious burden at all. No serious burden, groaned Stephen as he half sat up and half lay down on the lawn. No serious burden. It looks like one to me. And then he began to calculate what his new job would mean to him, for he was good at figures. This lawn, he said to himself, is about 22 meters long and 6 meters wide. Given that the mower makes a cut about a third of a meter wide, that means I shall have to walk 450 meters every time I have to cut the lawn. Twice a week will make just about a kilometer. Whew! At this dreadful thought, Stephen sank down a little lower on the grass, but his mind continued to work on the problem. 1 kilometer a week, he said to himself, is 50 kilometers a year, allowing for some time when the grass isn't growing so quickly. 50 kilometers? This was too much for him. Stephen continued to think over the problem of his great distance until gradually his head slid down from the grass catcher and he turned over on the grass and curled up and went fast asleep in the warm summer sunshine. He was still fast asleep when Father came at the scene and took in the situation at a glance. His new plan didn't seem to be working very well. "Hi there," he shouted. Stephen woke up with a start and jumped to his feet, a little ashamed of himself. "What does this mean?" said Father. "No lawn done yet?" "No," said Stephen. "I started to think about it and found out that if I cut this lawn twice a week for a year, I shall have to walk over 50 kilometers. That's too much. So, well, I suppose I just fell asleep at the thought of it." "Oh," laughed Father, "what an idea. You mustn't think like that. If anyone were to work out how much of an effort they'd have to put forth in a year on any of a regular job, they'd never have the courage to start at all. Just think of me. I have to walk nearly 2 kilometers to the bus every morning and the same back at night. That's a lot of kilometers to total up for a year. If I were to think of that, I would give up now. I'd be too tired to go on. But by just taking a day at a time, well, it doesn't seem to be too bad. Maybe it helps to keep me fit." "Over 1,000 kilometers a year?" whispered Stephen. "I didn't think you'd walk that far." "Well, that's the way it is. And let's think of your mother for a moment. She has 5 beds to make every day, which is 35 a week, or 1,820 a year. And the very thought of making 1,820 beds is enough to make me feel completely worn out. Besides that, Mom has to wash up at least 150 items a day, including dishes and glasses and knives and forks and spoons, and that makes over 1,050 a week, or 54,600 a year. Imagine that. If you want to feel tired, add that to 250 pieces of laundry to wash each week, or 13,000 a year. Yes, and 70 kilograms of food to prepare each week, or 3,640 kilograms a year. It's terrifying if you look at it all at once." "I should say it is," said Stephen. "Think of washing 50,000 dishes. I'd die, I'm sure I would." "It's obvious, Stephen, that we mustn't look at life that way. It would be too hard on us all. We must live a day at a time. That's how God intended us to live. As the days, so thy strength shall be," he says. And it's that's found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. It doesn't say as the week or as the month, but as the days. "I think," said Father, "that we could all learn a good lesson from the pendulum of that old grandfather's clock. The story is told that once upon a time a pendulum started to think, and then it began to add up the number of times it swung to and fro. 1 swing a second, 60 swings a minute, 3,600 swings an hour, 86,400 swings a day. When the pendulum got that far, it probably stopped swinging, and the people wondered why the old clock had stopped. Even a pendulum must do one swing at a time and forget the rest, and so must we. Moment by moment, and hour by hour, and day by day, we must do the best we can. Then life won't seem to be so hard, and we shall have the strength for every task that we have to do. Well, says Stephen, I suppose I shall have to forget those 50 kilometres of walking and cut the lawn once today. A splendid idea, said Dad. The only way to look at it. Just a few moments later, a comfortable purring noise could be heard in the garden as Stephen and the lawnmower began to move at last. And that story was called A Tick at a Time.
That was Auntie Debbie with a Tick in Time. You know, Auntie Debbie has told us lots and lots of stories. Do you have a favorite story that you've heard on practical living? I'd love to repeat that story for you. Write into us. Let us know what story it is and why you like it. Then I will make sure to get that on air again so that you will be blessed. I'm doing this just for you. So make sure you let me know your story. I'll give you the address that you can use later on in the program so that you write to me and I'll get that story for you. But right now, let's put on our poetry hat. We're going to hear a few selections of poetry from Andriette. I hope you guys will be blessed. These poems are great, short, but inspirational. Be blessed.
Just Like Me. Dear Lord, forgive our yielding to temptation. Forgive our pride, our love of worldly things. Have mercy on our love of sensual pleasure. Compassion on the sins that self-love brings. It must be hard to understand us sometimes. So very different is your heart and mind. But wait, I just remembered that you do know what it's like to be part of humankind. You suffered just like we do, and you were tempted. You lived with us so you could comprehend the things that we go through each trying day, so you could give us mercy and be our friend. Thank you for compassion and forgiveness. Thank you for your love and empathy. Thank you, Lord, for coming down from heaven to experience life's trials just like me. Help me forgive. When rage and fury overwhelm my heart, it's time to look to God's own holy word. I search the Bible for His good advice. My will to His commands must be deferred. In Romans, God reveals His love for me. All things God works only for my good. He gives me blessings I can't understand. I'd be peaceful if I'd do the things I should. Jesus forgave so much, then why can't I? I want to mold my life after His own. I pray, I try, but my sinful nature wins. Lord, help me. I can't do this alone. In Colossians, I read about the peace of Christ. Oh, how I long to feel it in my heart. All I have to do is forgive, but Lord, it seems I don't know where to start. I need to walk a mile in other shoes. They're doing what they think they have to do. I know some problems are blessings in disguise, but Lord, sometimes I feel so doggone blue. Ephesians says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Get rid of anger and every form of malice. I'd love to just let go and release it all. But upon my heart is a wound that has become a callous. I keep praying, trying, Lord, no matter what, I'm determined to let go and relinquish blame. Someday I'll say and be truly sincere, Forgive it all in Jesus' precious name.
That was Andriette sharing some poetry with us. Hey, that gets me thinking. You might be a poet. Yeah. Do you write poetry? Do you know someone that does? Why don't you share that poetry with us? Would love to get it on air and let many more people be blessed with the talent that God has given you. What do you think? That's a great idea, isn't it? Write into us. Share your poetry with us. Share that special gift with us. Our postal address is Adventist World Radio, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, South Africa. Postal code 7129. Our email address is awr@sidmedia.org. awr@sidmedia.org. You can also visit our Facebook page. Make sure to like us, and you can leave your poem there. We'll make sure we share your talent with the rest of the world, with the rest of your AWR brothers and sisters. Sadly, my friend, sadly, I need to go. But remember, right here on Practical Living, we give you practical tips and practical advice that if you follow, through God's help, will keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, may God abundantly bless you.